Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise for our readings for this fifth week of Lent, and we recognize in that first reading from Jeremiah that Jesus is the embodiment of that teaching. He is the one who came and offered his life for us so that we could have our sins forgiven and we could start over again, and that you would remember them no more. So we pray you would help us as we continue our spiritual journey of this Lenten season, as it's coming to an end, to continue to keep our eyes fixed on him, to draw upon his infinite mercy, but also to encourage others by offering them mercy and showing through our words and actions that we are a redeemed people. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. So as we continue our Lenten journey, the readings will be more and more intense about Jesus accepting the reality of the cross in his life. And I was sharing with somebody today in an appointment about Hebrews 12, about Jesus did not just look at the shame of the cross, he forsake that, looking ahead to the glory that would come after it. And there's an amazing Italian mystic by the name of servant of God, Luisa Picaretta, and she had a meditation several months ago that I read that said, you know, when you're putting a house in order, you don't just look at everything that's out of order, you're looking at the end product, that eventually you're going to have a nice clean room and everything's going to be in its proper place. And I was thinking during the readings that, well, that's why you give people blueprints. And once I was called upon to build a rectory, it never happened. But we went far enough ahead to have a model, and they showed us what it would look like, and they put little fake plants in front of the model to show us what the end product would be like so we could get people to come on board and want to support it and everything. But then the stock market fell apart in 2008, and we kind of just, God provided something else for us, something very nice and beautiful. But I remember thinking of that, you know, if we didn't have something to show people what they're going to be investing in or what they're supporting and participating in, it's really hard to kind of get people excited about it. So Jesus knew that, you know, taking on the cross wasn't the last chapter in the story, but resurrection, liberation, freedom, forgiveness was the ultimate goal. And so he pressed ahead and did that. And if we're honest, you know, we're all put to the test. And, you know, we're often surrounded by people and even family members maybe who don't always appreciate all the sacrifices we make and the things we try to do. And when we kind of get slighted or we feel hurt and injured by the people around us, our first response, if at least mine isn't, and maybe I shouldn't speak for you, you holy people, isn't always, God bless you and have a nice day. It's, you know, you hurt me and I want you to know that, and I'm upset now and my whole world has got turned upside down because of this injury or something. But that's not what Jesus did. The more we pressed in, the more we rejected the love and mercy he offered us in the new covenant, the more he gave. You know, eventually culminating to those words on the cross, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. And so the ultimate thing here is that objectively love is stronger than death. Jesus shows us that by his victory on the cross. But in our lives, we're working that out. And that's why it says in Philippians 2:12, work out your salvation with care and concern, or one translation, with fear and trembling. I like the care and concern a little better, but we have both translations. And so that's being worked out in us. And so every time we turn to him and ask for his help in forgiving somebody who's hurt or injured us, then we further the kingdom of God. But every time we brood over injury and just remember all the bad things people did and we hold on to it, it poisons us. And we won't experience that glorification that Jesus did on the cross and share and participate in that. So we have to allow the Holy Spirit to transform us amidst our own challenges. And of course, that's a lifelong process. And the Lord is incredibly patient. You know, and just the readings today show us that, you know, Jesus cried out with prayers and supplications, even as he was suffering. It wasn't in vain. And that's how he showed the depths of his love for humanity, is that he didn't walk away. There's a song from Kathy Tricoli called A Love That Will Not Walk Away. And it contrasts human love, which often walks away when we get disappointed with somebody. But God's love just keeps pressing in and saying, I'm not done with you yet. I'm the hound of heaven. I'm after you. And I'm not going to give up on you as easily as human beings give up on one another. So we prove our love, too, by pressing away and not running away. I've been sharing with people that one phrase that Dr. Bob Schutz shared in 2018 when I finally got to go on this priest retreat, this healing retreat for priests. And it's still in my notes on my little Lenovo laptop. And it's highlighted like 15 times in different colors because I thought this is the one takeaway that I really need to remember. But then it sometimes annoys me when I remember it because it's very challenging. And he says, and I've said this before, the core of all sin is running away from suffering. The core of all sin is running away from suffering. Well, this isn't fun anymore. I'm out of here. I don't want to sacrifice anything and give up something to be put through an unpleasant mode or mindset in my mind or experience. So I just want to be part of the fun things. Where's the Easter party? I don't want the cross. And so he said that, and that always comes back to me when I start to get upset about something or a structure in the church or a meeting or something. The core of all sin is running away from suffering. Even leave meeting. Oh, I wanted to leave the meeting so bad. The core of all sin is running away from suffering. Don't touch that mouse. Continue to stay and stand your ground and try to be a positive influence in this situation, whatever it might be. But we prove our ability to love people by pressing in and not running away. And that's what God does to us. He says, you're worth saving. You know, I'm not going to walk away from you no matter how nasty you are and how you reject me. I'm still offering a hand of mercy and salvation to you in your world. Not a lot of people are interested in it, doesn't seem like, but he's still offering that. And the church has to be the instrument on earth, the body on earth, that reminds people of that, that God hasn't given up on us. So who are we to give up on each other when you could turn the corner any time? I just sat down with a couple parents and their kids are not practicing their faith, a very typical situation for a lot of parents, right? And I just said, you know, the hound of heaven's after them, and we just never know when someone's going to have some kind of experience that just levels them and makes them realize that I need to have God more in my life and in the center of my heart. And I met one mom once, and I kind of teased her about this, but she said, I don't care if I have to drag my kids into heaven by their hair, screaming and kicking, they're going to get into heaven somehow. And I looked at her and I said, you know, I believe you would do that. But I know about your personnel and your persistence. They're going to get into heaven even if they kick and scream along the way. So God has that persistent love for us, and we have to have it for each other. And the one thing I would like to end with is the power and weakness, 2 Corinthians 12. And this was the reading the other night for the Stations of the Cross. I am content in my weakness, for when I am weak, he is strong. Therefore, I put up with weaknesses, insults, rejection, all these bad things, because I know that that just allows me the ability to ask God for more help and grace. So I recently talked with somebody who participated in something, and it was very unpleasant, and he actually said, I'm a very passionate person, and he just went at it, and he said, I probably won't be invited to participate anymore, because I kind of said, you know, I think your approach to this is all wrong, and the church should be that instrument that's transforming the world and not be worldly. Well, we need to transform the church because it's not worldly enough yet, and that was kind of the gist of his take on this thing that he was involved in. And so I was sitting in a meeting, too, kind of getting, you know, thinking of that, and then realizing that, you know, it's so easy for us to get negative and not see problems as an opportunity to share our faith. So these are all about listening sessions. We're actually going to have some in this deanery in Archdiocese. And a lot of people are coming to the table, they're not really evangelized, so they are very worldly, and their whole thing is the church is backwards and, you know, upside down and wrong, and we need to make the church more like the world, which is really the opposite of what Jesus taught and came to do for us. So instead of getting upset, all of a sudden it dawned on me, that's a perfect opportunity for you to share your testimony. But Jesus has come into my life and changed it, and now I'm able to forgive people. I don't hate people. I know who I am. I know what I'm supposed to do. I have a purpose, a destiny, a mission in this world. So instead of allowing that to make you run away from suffering, you instead say, this is an opportunity for me to show forth his glory and goodness. And maybe this person has never heard a personal testimony in their life, because as Catholics, we're not really good at that, you know? Like, have you shared your conversion story with somebody around you? Oh, no, we don't do that as Catholics. Maybe that's what's wrong with us, you know? Do we have good news to share with the world? Absolutely. So even me dreading these, well, I better not say that, this is being taped. instead of looking at that in a negative way, the Lord just during this meeting when we're talking about this process, we coming to us, you'll hear more about it. I just thought, that's what we have to do. The Holy Spirit makes us positive and proactive. So instead of running away, you say, I have good news to share. And even though these people are baptized Catholics, they may not understand. They may be confused. A lot of people are confused. I have the privilege now of giving witness to my experience of God's amazing, merciful love that came into my life when I was 17 and turned it around in a totally different direction. So instead of looking at something negatively, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit does an amazing transformation in your mind and says, oh no, I'm here to share good news, and no one's going to shut me down from that and make me bitter and negative because, oh, this is all messed up. You know, why even be a part of it? So that's what we have to pray for in our world today, because we see so many problems and divisions and difficulties. And the Lord is saying, hey, I want you to be an agent of good news. Don't let people shut you down and make you negative and bitter. You have something wonderful to share with the world. And you may be the only Bible someone reads, as people used to say. You know, the way you treat them, the way you listen and be compassionate and understanding and everything. So we're all put to the test, and love is stronger than death, but that is being worked out in us. That's our conversion. We prove our love by pressing in and not running away. The core of all sin is running away from suffering. I will repeat that ad nauseum so that you can share in my agony when I read that over and over again and don't practice it. And then power and weakness. Look for opportunities to share your faith rather than to be frustrated at the lack of faith. A lot of people don't believe, but there are people who do, and we believe. We have something good to share. Amen? Let's pray for that. Heavenly Father, we thank you for calling us to be part of your family. And we pray that you would just send forth the Holy Spirit to open our minds and our hearts to be positive, proactive, and not reactive. And help us to discern and pray what we can do to help people come back to you or experience you for the first time and never do things that will harm them or drive them further away. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen.